T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. I'm talking with a band over on in Eastern Washington, the other part of our great fine state, over in Wenatchee, a band called, and let me see if I pronounce this right, Himiko Cloud.
Perfect, man.
Awesome. They're an instrumental three-piece, and they reached out to me via email, and I just fell in love with the record. I was just telling them that, like, the artwork on it is exceptional, but the music is just, it's really cool. It's like instrumental progressive metal. You can't really even box it in one genre, but we'll talk a little bit about it and we'll play some of the songs. But first off, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So before we go any further, what's your name and what do you do for Himiko Cloud?
My name is Jacob, and I play drums.
I'm Kyle, and I play guitar.
And I'm Connor, and I play bass.
Awesome. Right on. So let's kind of get the origin story. How'd you guys meet, and when did Himiko Cloud start? Were you guys in bands prior to this, or is this your first band?
Jake and I were in a band together quite a while ago called Mothra. Mm-hmm. And sort of ended up, it was like a 5-member band at one point, and we kicked every member out for different reasons, and it eventually was just Jake and I, and we just decided to kind of keep playing as a two-piece.
Did that start?
What year was that?
2013, 2014.
Okay. It was when Himiko Cloud started, because we renamed the band once it was just us as a two-piece. And then wanted a bass player. We've known this guy for a long time. He's been a part of the scene forever, too. And so, it seemed like a good fit. And, so I think about a year in, maybe 2014 or something, you joined?
Yeah, we did one tour as a two-piece, like a little mini thing. Yeah. It was like five shows, I think.
Seven
shows. We did this little thing, like a little run with just a two-piece. At the end of that, we were like, let's get a bass player. Yeah, it seemed like it just worked out perfectly. Mm-hmm. Connor had been coming to our shows for quite a while and kind of already knew, like, our previous music and stuff, and kind of had it already down. So it was really easy to transfer over and kind of bring him along, you know?
Absolutely. Awesome. So joining the band, were you, had you seen the band before, or?
Yeah, man. I had been out to their shows growing up. Like, these guys have been the band before Himiko Cloud. It's like really similar style to Himiko Cloud style, but just morphed into more instrumental. Mm-hmm. These guys have been playing shows together since we were in high school. So,
oh, cool.
I've been going to their shows since then for sure. And we've always been buddies. So,
me and Kyle went to high school together. that's where we met. We would start playing music together in the band room, like on lunchtimes and stuff.
Yeah, nice.
We just kind of formed a little thing that like lunchtime break band, basically, is what it was, you know. And I played jazz in high school, and that's kind of where I just started playing drums. Kyle was always, you've been playing guitar for a long time. I think you started probably what, middle school?
I've been playing guitar for like since I was 10, and I'm 31 now, so long ass time.
And so then we joined forces, and that was like all she wrote from there.
Dude, you should scoot in a little bit. Get cozy, man.
Here we go. Get cozy.
Oh,
Okay. So, you, in your bio, you do have a description of the origin of the name, but just for anyone who's listening for the first time, what's the origin of the name Himiko Cloud?
The name is the name of a galaxy. It's a really huge cloud, like really old galaxy. When they discovered it, they didn't quite know what it was because it's from a really early stage in the universe, and they didn't think that galaxies could form that large at that time. So it was a pretty significant thing, and we just thought it was a cool name and a cool.
It is a cool name, yeah.
Breath. Thank you.
And it's fitting of the vibe you guys put off. I can totally see how that goes hand in hand with that, and even the artwork on the album. So
I appreciate that.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely. So I'm curious about the Wenatchee music scene, being that, you know, over here in Seattle, things are starting to come back. You know, I've seen a few shows here and there, you know, with different restrictions and whatnot. And Tacoma is doing the same. But, you know, I don't get to go out to Wenatchee for shows. Is there a big music scene out there, or is it is it thriving? Are there a handful of bands? My friend Evan said he saw you guys last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was a good show.
Nice.
Yeah.
We played with a band from Spokane, Odyssey, repping the shirt right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a super rad instrumental progressive metal, progressive rock band.
They were a lot of fun.
Yeah. We've been trying to set something up with them for a while. So this is our first show together. Their first time to Wenatchee. And it was a pretty packed house, honestly. There's about maybe like 80-ish people there, 70.
It's about what the little venue can fit. Yeah, honestly.
The Wenatchee scene is great, though, for how small of a city it is. There's a lot of people that love to come out and support shows, and there's quite a few musicians, a lot of talent around here, and it's a good, like, in-between point for touring bands to come through. It's like a midway through Washington spot, so we get a lot of cool bands over here. Yeah. It's a really awesome scene.
It's really tight knit in the same ways that you see, like, you know, anyone who's involved in the Seattle scene sees how all these different people are connected, and, you know,
everybody works together. It's really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Right on. Well, I'm curious. So now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because I love instrumental music, and in my personal opinion, you don't need a vocalist, if the vocalist can add something, but if they don't add anything, there's no need to have one. In my personal opinion, I like a lot of instrumental bands. There's a really cool one from here called Pound, a killer metal, instrumental band.
Know them.
For you guys personally, why instrumental? Why did you never, you know, want to throw a vocalist on top of it? Why did you guys seek making music as an instrumental project?
I mean, when we were in Mothra, we did have a vocalist. When that dwindled down to just the two piece, we were listening to so many different instrumental bands that were super influential, that we seemed to somehow like find a liking to more than others.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, it just kind of helped the confidence in succeeding as an instrumental band.
I gotcha.
And, we just wanted to keep rolling with it. I felt like we were so interested in certain instrumental bands, that we were like, hey, we can do this because, you know, like some of our favorite bands are doing this, and now this is starting to become a thing that's more well known. I felt like it was a great opportunity for us to start building that, that name as an influential band, you know, and being different, being original.
Yeah.
You know, that in itself, not just the music being original, but being instrumental is original itself. So,
yeah.
And we still get asked all the time, you know, so it's like, we're so used to getting that question. You know, we totally get it. But at the same time, it's like, well, we put so much work into what we're doing now that it's like, you know, we're confident in what we're doing.
We enjoy being instrumental. Yeah. And I think it's cool to not have the lyrical angle to it. It's a lot more open, interpretation. Lyrics are as well. I don't know. We love bands with singers too, but we enjoy being instrumental. There's no plan to add a singer or anything.
Yeah.
All right. So play along with me here. Let's have a little fun. If you could have choice of any one vocalist in the world, past or present, who you think could really add to Humiko Cloud, who would it be? If to add as the full-time vocalist for the band, if you could choose any single vocalist. Bjork to Mike Patton, doesn't matter, any single one.
I like Bjork's a great choice. Yeah. Man. A little bit of Cedric Bixler's Avalis style, a guy from Mars Volta.
Totally.
Maybe a little bit. Like something really melodic and I don't know. I just think it would need to be melodic. Cedric Bixler. Who's another one? I'm trying to think right now.
That's a good one, dude.
Thomas Eric from Fall of Troy would probably be a good style fit.
Oh, for sure, bro. Yeah.
That was one of our first influences.
Yeah, big influence.
As far as a three-piece band that had so much noise.
You're like, right. Like, honestly, sometimes we could even go for a touch of screaming in our music, not just singing. That. So,
yeah, Thomas. All right. I'll text him. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, let him know.
No, he'll answer us.
Shout out, Thomas.
Yeah.
So this album came out June 4th. It's called Telomeres. Is that how you pronounce it? Telomeres?
Telomeres.
Telomeres. And did you guys record this during the pandemic? Was it a pandemic project? Or yeah, it was.
We started it right before. Yeah. So, but most of it was done through the pandemic, and it was a long process because of the pandemic. So.
Yeah.
It took us about an hour from where we live to get to where we recorded it to. So we were planning it out, like on weekends that we could make it up there. And
once we were like able to go. Yeah. See people.
Yeah. It was a long process. Like Kyle recorded the guitars first, and then we would go up periodically and do the drums and bass. I think there was like one day I laid down probably four of the songs on drums just in one day.
Yeah.
So it was like one of those things where we only had so little time, so we had to like make as much of what we had.
So being that you have a studio that was an hour away, obviously it must have been a selection. Like there was a reason why you must have gone to this place. Because at this point, you could make an album at your house if you wanted to. It's pretty easy to. But there must have been a reason you guys specifically chose this studio. Where did you record at, and what was the reason, and how was it?
So we actually recorded with one of our like longtime best friends who has just become this top tier, engineer producer. And, so we just had to go with him. His name's Culver Pauly, and we're pretty much, dude, he's a great guy. Awesome. Yeah. But he's basically just starting out to work with other people. We're probably like his first project besides his own stuff, which he's just released tons of his own music over the years. And so he's got like a really awesome studio, and he's
great to work
super
with.
Super knowledgeable.
Too.
Yeah. And super fun to work with in the studio. And so it just was a no brainer. And
so it was worth the trip.
He just made it sound, he knows how to make everything sound killer in like no time at all, and we have a blast while we're doing it.
Yeah, and for us, like recording with him, he kind of knew where me and Kyle's previous record stood as far as like how it was produced. And because times have changed with like how things are just produced nowadays, and how much better you can, how much more full the music can be. And Our first record we put together, Kyle, was like done in a basement, which was, it was great, but it just wasn't like, it wasn't up to the modern type production. And Culver has like a great understanding of what that was. And he wanted to inquire modern day production with a little bit of what me and Kyle kind of were always about was the raw live sound, So he kind of understood that, and he was, just so on board with that. And it made it a lot easier to go with him in that.
Yeah, for sure. For anyone or for who's looking for a studio, he goes, his studio name is Shadow Exhibit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So hit him up.
Out of Chelan, Washington.
Yeah. Super dope spot. And
killer.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to hear the some of the product of those recording sessions right now. We're going to go into a song, and this one is called Sunsloth. All right. So who raises your hand? Someone raise your hand. You get to be cheesy radio DJ And the person who raises their hand has to introduce this song in the cheesiest FM radio DJ way possible. Okay. Who's going to do it?
That's all you, Jake.
All right.
No, that's Connor.
I'm volunteering.
Connor, you got it.
All right. Yo, this is Himiko Cloud. And if you're listening to the radio right now, you're going to hear our song Sun Sloth coming in hot. Let's do this. We'll be right back.
sorry I'm not as cool a DJ as the dudes here. So I'll do my part. But that was Sunslot. The band is called Himiko Cloud over Wenatchee, Washington. I'm curious, do you guys, I mean, obviously things are kind of up in the air as far as some tours and you know, shows and stuff like that. But do you guys plan on ever coming over to Western Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually we have a show with one of the bands, College Radio.
Yeah, Gordon's band. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So Gordon, I think
that's at the Kraken.
Yeah, except I think he told me that I couldn't say that. So now I'm like,
well, this is coming out in a couple weeks, so it's okay.
Okay, also, I think that'll probably be enough time because
there's a show we got coming up, so stay tuned because the official announcement's coming out.
Yeah.
All right.
At the Kraken somewhere. I'll be playing there.
All right, cool. Well, we'll talk about that.
We'll announce.
Oh yeah, okay.
We'll wait on that one.
see you then.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, I'm curious about you know, growing up, you guys were all like, you know, fantastic musicians. What was a musician that inspired you to pick up your musician your instrument of choice? Hmm. And whoever wants to jump in first, go ahead.
Man, I would probably say like the Incubus bassist from like Science.
Yeah,
dude, because I straight up, yeah, my brothers were like 11 and 14 years older than me and had that when I was like 6 years old, and I was, I mean, definitely always was a huge influence.
I was raised on classic rock, so cool. I was always, you know, I was like growing up in this family where nobody played music, but we loved rhythm. So it was like drums was always a thing in the car or whatever it may have been. And I just really started finding a knack for that. And I started playing jazz in middle school. And then I actually played trumpet. I played brass instruments at first. And then I was like, no, I don't like this. And I felt like drums were so much cooler, right? Because as a kid, I was like, oh, I want to be the drummer, you know? Like, sure, I want to hold this brass instrument, you know? Yeah. But I fell in love with it immediately. And then I started listening to like System of a Down. Mm-hmm. It was probably the first band I really was like, okay, this is cool. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I had a really cool cousin. His name was Matt Folden. Rest in peace. He got me into music. He was in a band. He was a drummer in like a punk band. And I saw his band play in his garage when I was like eight or nine, maybe.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he saw my interest in it and he showed me a bunch of like punk rock stuff. Like, this was around the skate punk days. So we're talking like NoFX,
Pennywise, Mill and Colin, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's what made me want to start playing music, is music like that and just my cousin inspiring me. That's awesome. That's how I got started.
He's one of those guys too that helped us be instrumental, because he would always tell us to keep doing what we're doing, never really like, you know, worry too much about the vocalist. He was always very confident in us. And yeah, we miss that guy.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
I feel like I missed a big one too, but yeah, my brothers were both in a band growing up. So from like after school in like kindergarten, I would go over to their house where they were having band practice and hang out. Nice. And go to all their shows growing up.
And you're like, what is that smell? And they're like, don't worry about it, kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't tell mom.
Exactly. Exactly. We had a cool band.
It's all foggy in here. What's up? Yeah. Anyways. Sorry, what were you saying? My bad.
No, we had a really cool band director in high school too that helped also. And he was very influential. He played every instrument possible, I feel like. And he was just one of those guys that like also not only just being like the typical band director is, you know, trying to keep things, what would you say, like, as professional as a teacher, he was always like trying to jam with us and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He was cool, and he was very inspiring himself, because he would, you know, he'd just chime in and start jamming with us and make us feel like, okay, this isn't weird what we're doing. We're actually like onto something here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was supportive.
That's awesome. That's great to have those people, you know, on the way up to, you know, growing up, that really inspire you and don't, you know, dim your fire, because it could be dimmed at that age. But to have someone that stokes that fire is really cool and really important. So.
Yeah, definitely.
So as far as like, you know, your musical tastes, you know, go and let's just it's not a hard scenario to picture, but I like to ask this question because the last 18, 19, 20 months almost now has been pretty, you know, hard on a lot of us. If you're having a crappy day, what's an album that you can go to that'll like bring you back to a positive place? Like a go-to album, whether you want to get your anger out, whether you want to, you know, calm down and get a really chill vibe. Mm. What's a go-to album you can put on that'll bring you back to a good place?
I'd say any Animals as Leaders record, yeah, for sure.
For me lately, it's been, this band called Nothing. They have an album called The Great Dismal that just came out. Like,
yeah.
I still can't get over that album since it came out. So yeah, that album always puts me in a good place.
Awesome.
Connor's
probably one of my favorite records of all time is Goliath from Mars Volta. One of those throwbacks you could throw on any time, no matter how how old it might be. It's like still to this day, there's not one song on that record that I could be like, yeah, dive right in and just enjoy every second of it.
I second that.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta check that one out. I only really know D-Louse in the Comatorium. I gotta check out Goliath.
D-Louse is amazing too.
That's my favorite
album. Francis the Mute.
D-Louse is my favorite album of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I just went off and found. I think I was getting really into like the hardcore and metal at that point, and I kind of, not that I didn't like them, I just didn't follow them. So I need to go back and do like a deep dive and check out Goliath.
Yeah, man.
I think during the pandemic, I actually watched a lot of Every Time I Die live videos and listened to a lot of that band. I listened to a lot of stuff that's like coming out at the time too, but
I love how that band has progressed.
Yeah.
They've really
definitely like straight up more hardcore stuff to like all the really melodic,
especially bands putting out records right now during all this. Like I just have this idea or this feeling that everybody that's putting out records right now, it's worth something. Like I feel like if, you know, these artists that are like well established, if they're putting out a record during these hard times, it's got to have something like super special. So even if it's like records that, you know, maybe you didn't like the last like 3 or 4 records they may have done.
Yeah.
Like people are putting out some awesome stuff. And
it's cool. I know when we rolled up to practice the other day, Jake was listening to some Manipulator by Fall of Troy.
Yeah.
It's always a good one too.
That's another, always throwing that on. So
we can always go back to that one too.
Yeah. Fall of Troy is awesome.
With you mentioning, you know, like the bands putting out albums at this time, it really is means something. And, you know, I got to say, like, I have like a weekly Spotify playlist that I just have like a master, like every year I do like a master list. Like every time, you know, I hear an album I like, I put it on it. I have a long playlist and it is all 2021. There are so many good albums that have come out in 2021. And that's just this year alone, dude. It's like,
massive. Yeah.
Crazy. So
it's crazy because people starting to really enjoy, I feel like, recording more so than even playing shows, because obviously that's like kind of like where the times are right now, is people would rather focus on their craft and work on recording and stuff like that and mastering that, as much as like, okay, we put out a record, now we got to go on tour and tour the record at least, but we're really looking forward to writing the next record, you know. So
yeah,
and that's where we're at now. Like we obviously want to go on tour, but we're already like so ready to write the next record. It's just kind of we want a tour as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So we could focus on writing, which most likely we'll just start with writing.
So if you could only do one of those two things somehow, you know, something major happened and they made you choose, you can only tour and play live shows, or you can only record and never play another show. What would you do?
I would choose record, because as much as I love performing and sharing our art with people, my favorite part of creating music has always been creating it. So
I think
I would want to keep creating new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Guys? Yeah.
For me, that's tough, but for us being a live band that I think we've established ourselves so well just playing live in the first place. Like people would call us a jam band for a long time, I feel like. So we it would make me feel like, all right, we're like meant to be like, you know, playing live, because people would, you know, it's like we couldn't even find a place to record to make it sound like what you would see live, you know, because it was just how we interpreted it.
You found the way out of this question, because within jamming, you're kind of creating new songs, which you're not allowed to do, but you found the loophole.
Yep. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
I like that.
That's we can jam and record because, you know, people got cell phones and stuff now.
Hey, that's what you're doing.
You blew up my question. Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And what would you prefer, man?
Man, I would probably join with Kyle on the recording side of it. I really do like the creation of music and then being able to create music with other people and then hearing it all come together for the first time when you're all in the studio and then like, yeah, this is like totally what we want it to sound like. Like that's super rewarding. Mm-hmm. As much as live music is in another way, I would say.
Yeah.
I love people. It's a different
interaction.
Yeah.
And I like, and I love just hear what people think. And obviously that's really important when it comes to music in general. And what you're creating is obviously what people are getting from that. And so that's obviously, in order to do that, you know, recording's great, but obviously for me, playing live is when you're going to get those most, you know, those reactions and those comments and whatever it may be. So what you're doing to make you feel a little bit more, either whether it's better or, hey, we should work on this, you know, it's always
that instant feedback.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Right on. Well, you know, I'm not going to take up your whole night here, but I do want to know, how do we, you know, support the band? Like, is there a place that we can go to support your band and buy your music? Which way do you prefer people to check you guys out and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, HimikoCloud.com has all of our links, whether you want to stream our music, check out our YouTube. There's a million things you can do for free that totally help us out with all of that. So like social media links, Spotify, YouTube, we have like music videos on there. So sharing those is like, you know, basically the best thing you can do for us. If you want to buy something right now, we do have CDs available on our Bandcamp and we can ship those out to you. We got more merch coming soon. So
cool.
Keep an eye out for those.
Yeah.
Right on.
Taking
right
it on. One step at a time right now, but that's what we got available to purchase. And definitely.
And then come see them at the Kraken when that show's announced.
That's right.
With College Radio. Awesome. We're going to go into another song here to end things here with Himiko Cloud. But do you guys have any shout outs and thank yous before we jump into the song?
Yo, shout out to Culver for recording the album.
Yeah. All the Seattle homies, all the bands that have helped us, you know, get over there and play shows and help support us as well.
Shout out to Zesty.
Yeah, Zesty from
the future. And from the future, because that band has opened up a lot of doorways for us in there. Yeah, gave us a lot of love in the early stages of getting over into the Seattle scene. And
thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah, you guys. Thank
anybody who listens and watches and, yeah, come say hi to us.
Yep, come see us.
Come to a city near you.
We'll see you at the Kraken, guys.
Yeah.
So this is a song called Terrestrial, and it's on Terrestrial Radio, so I feel like it's appropriate.
Sick.
Yeah.
Right on, guys. All right, the new album is available now. You can pick it up at himikocloud.bandcamp.com or check out all their links at himikocloud.com. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thank you so much.
Peace out.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Here's Himiko Cloud with Terrestrial on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions.
really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.